all types of material happiness are obtained in this life or in the next life, on this planet or on another. The living entity wanders within this material universe in so many species of life and so many planetary systems. The distress and happiness obtained during the span of life are called iha. And the distress and happiness obtained in the next life are called paratra. Actually, Lord Mahadeva, Shiva, is one of the great demigods within this material world. Generally, his blessings bestowed on ordinary people mean material happiness. The predominating deity of this material world, Durga, is under control of Lord Mahadeva, Girisha. Which is what, that's the word that's used in that. Girisham. Asajya Devam Girisham Nandrijaya. The Lord of the Hill, basically. Giri Isha. The Lord of the Kailash Hill. Because Krishna's also a Girisha in one sense, he's the Lord of going downhill. But anyway, Girisha, we know this is Lord Shiva. Thus, Lord Mahadeva can offer anyone any kind of material happiness. Generally, people prefer to become devotees of Lord Girisha to obtain material happiness. But the Prachetas met Lord Mahadeva by providential arrangement. Yadrichaya, Yadrichaya, by providence. And what does providence mean? What does it mean? Providence.
Vidi.
Huh?
Vidi. Vidi.
Vidi?
Vidi.
Vidhi, the most Sanskrit word Vidhi, I think.
Vidhi means what? In English, what does it mean?
By some divine arrangement.
Yes, very good. Go to the top of the class. I looked it up last night. this is in the Macquarie dictionary, it's the official Australian dictionary. The foreseeing care, right? The foreseeing care and guardianship of God over his creatures. Isn't that a nice, that's the first definition of providence. Isn't that nice? The foreseeing care and guardianship of God over his creatures. Prabhupada talks about providence, and this word that Richard has, it's a special word. It also can mean God. Or, third definition, manifestation of the divine care or direction. Giving a strong idea of what providence is all about. For providence, or prudent management of resources, economy, and rare foresight. I don't have it rare now, so this is a rarely used. Foresight or provident care. And of course, six, to tempt providence is to embark on a course which involves danger. So go against providence and look out. You'll be in trouble. But I like the first one. The foreseeing care and guardianship of God over his creatures. We'll come back to that later on. But generally people write their own Lord Purusha. What for? Material happiness, yes. But in this case, what happened? Very interesting. It's an interesting example. Generally, people prefer to become devotees of Lord Purusha to obtain material happiness. But the Prachetas met Lord Mahadev by providential arrangement. So this is an arrangement by Krishna. Right? According to this definition, what's taking place here is actually an arrangement by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Which is what happens when we come into the association of devotees. The power of the association of devotees. Not to be underestimated. Despite the fact that most people go to Lord Shiva for material prosperity, material happiness, still, this is not an ordinary approach to Lord Shiva for the usual. It's a very special arrangement. Lord Mahadev instructed them to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he personally offered a prayer. As stated in the previous verse, Rudra Gitena. So let's have a look and see what Rudra Gitena means. Here, Rudra Gitena by the song composed by Lord Shiva. I know that's the question in the previous verse. What did they achieve by chanting this song? What did they get? So he's asking. As stated in the previous verse, Rudra Gitena, simply by chanting the prayers offered by Lord Shiva to Vishnu, the Prachetas were transferred to the spiritual world. We better get a hold of that song. But you know what? We've been given a shorter version. It's called Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. We've been given a very short version. We probably couldn't remember this song. Of course, you probably could, because, you know, if you repeat something with regular enough, you'll remember it. The value of repetition. Shravana Kirtan. So, sometimes the devotees desire to enjoy material happiness also. Have you had that experience? Therefore, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotee is given a chance to enjoy the material world before his final entrance in the spiritual world. That's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes devotees desire to enjoy material happiness. Also, they want to serve Krishna. They also want to enjoy the material world. Sometimes a devotee is transferred to a heavenly planet, to Janaloka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Siddhaloka, and so on. However, a pure devotee never aspires for any kind of material happiness. The pure devotee is consequently transferred directly to Vaikuntha Loka, which is described here as Param. Prabhu Param. Jacob's got the supreme destination. In this verse, Vidura asks Maitreya, the disciple of Brihaspati, about the different achievements of the Prachetas. Amanyajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanajanaj Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dhatisvara Paratikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangunam Khayate Girin Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatayam. Okay, so the potatoes, the sons of King Prachini Mahishat, what did they achieve by this Rudra Gitena, singing of the song composed by Lord Shiva? So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada touches on the meaning of the word iha, and paratra, which is kind of like iha means the here and now, and paratra means that which will take place in the future, wherein which one will achieve one's desires, basically. We achieve happiness in this lifetime, or if we're not satisfied, then we'll achieve it in the next. And where it is going to be. Of course, man proposes and God disposes. That will be determined by our action, by our karma and our desire. And so the distress and the happiness will be enjoyed either in this lifetime or in the next. Iha paratra. Now, what happened with the projectors when they met Lord Mahadev, Lord Shiva? And in this pastime, really what's important here is association, really. Sangha, and especially Sadhu Sangha. And why this pastime is interesting, is, as Prabhupada points out, is because most people approach Lord Shiva for material purposes, to satisfy their material desires, to become happy with material acquisition. And the Prachetas, by good fortune here, but not by not a special, this word, Yadrichaya, and Prabhupada translates that as by providence, which is an arrangement of Krishna. This is not just some karmic reaction, but rather the coming into contact of the devotee, was in this case Lord Shiva, is acting as a representative of the Lord, and as such is connecting then the projectors, because the projectors are special personalities. That's why they've got their, there's a whole section in Bhagavatam about the projectors and the characteristics or the qualities of the projectors. They had performed these austerities on the order of their father, the king, who wanted them to take over his reign and manage the universal affairs, or the affairs in his charge. And he wanted them to be qualified to do that, be properly qualified to do that. So he sent them off to perform austerities, penance and austerities, in order to be purified in heart and mind, so that when they became the kings, they would have clarity of purpose, and they would have the qualification, the qualification to perform that important service of being an administrator. In the Vedic system, the Brahmanas are considered, we have a social body, the Brahmanas are considered to be the head, and head is topmost, right? But also there's the arms, there's the torso, there's the legs, right? And each one of them plays a role in working together cooperatively, so the whole functions of the total body are harmonious, cooperative. And so each one of those roles is respected, appreciated, honoured. And you can see that these young men went to the ocean. There is a picture where Lord Vishnu, with 10 arms, 10 weapons, right, is standing on the back of Garuda. And the Pachandas are offering their pranams, their namaskar, to Lord Vishnu, flying on the back of Garuda, which is all okay until you look at the bottom of the picture and there's a fish floating around. So, what's going on here? Which is pretty far out, that means Garuda is flying underwater with Lord Vishnu on his back. So, Lord Vishnu appears to the pretenders and offers them a benediction. They've been performing austerities for 10,000 years underwater, which is just inconceivable for us. We just can't. You know, it's just like, how can you live underwater for 10,000 years? There are some things in the Bhagavatam that just, you have to accept it. It's astounding. Right? There are descriptions of things that are just astounding. But we have to accept it. We may not understand, we can't do it. But just because we can't do it doesn't mean somebody else can't do it. So they were given the song of Lord Shiva, and they worked together to perform these austerities, and as a consequence of their cooperation, they They work together cooperatively. And because they've got the association of the great devotee, Lord Mahadeva Girija, and they took advantage of this association and started to sing the song, the prayer of Lord Shiva for the glorification of Kaivalyanath, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so by chanting the prayers offered by Lord Shiva to Vishnu, the Prachetas were transferred to the spiritual world. Because they cooperatively come together to chant the song of Lord Shiva, they got. Now that's not all that they got also, because they got to enjoy the facilities of the material world as well in the process. So they managed to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They also fulfilled the order of their father. And of course, as the rulers of the planet, they enjoyed the material world as well. By the blessings of Lord Shiva, or by the blessings of the devotee. This is a critical point. Why the devotees are so important. The point being here also that sometimes devotees have material desires. But just because a devotee has material desires doesn't mean that they're, when they achieve liberation, when they achieve the association of the devotees, when they achieve the opportunity to render devotional service, that they're any lesser when they become perfect. They may have, the devotees may have material desires, in fact, more often, I would suggest that more often than not. But there's that verse about the Akana, Savakama, Va, Moksha Kami, Vadara, the Timrena, Bhakti Yogena. Yajita, Purusham Param. Right, is it? Yeah. So, whether one is Akama, no desire, or Savakama, all desires, still, if we come into the association of the devotees, right, and in the association of the devotees, Tidrena, Bhakti Yogena, perform devotional service with great focus and attention to detail, right, then one will become perfect. One will be purified. Dhruva Maharaj is an example. Right? The Prachetas are an example. There are quite a few examples in the Bhagavatam of individuals who surrendered to Krishna through the circumstances, through the opportunities, and usually by Yajrichaya, by the arrangement of providence, they come into the association of the devotees. This is why we're here, practically speaking. And this is a test. It's a real test to live in the association of the devotees. Because I look at Swami says, when you surrender to the spiritual master, the first thing is Guru Padasraya. The first thing we do is we take shelter of the spiritual master. But the spiritual master usually presents himself in the form of who?
Paramatma.
Well, yes, but we generally don't see him. him, the mind, in a matter of. But who do we meet? The Vedas. Yeah? And then what do the Vedas do?
Chanting, dancing.
Yes. But what do they do? What do they do to us?
Preach to
us. Yeah, what do they tell us to do stuff?
They instruct us.
Yeah, they instruct us. And Rupa Goswami says, when you take shelter of the spiritual master, right? Watch out. Well, he probably doesn't say watch out. But he does, because he says, right in the beginning, these are the 64 items of devotional service. The first thing is you should inquire. This is why I really was attracted. One of the reasons why I was attracted to the devotees was because they had answers to my questions. Questions that I had wanted to have answered for many years. And nobody else would answer them. Nobody else. Well, I'd ask my parents and they didn't have the answers. I asked my friends and they didn't have the answers. I asked my priest, you know, and he didn't have the answers. But when I met the Hare Krishnas, young men, my age, you know, early 20s, very young, yet they had the answers of the questions I wanted to have answered. And of course, where did those answers come from? Yes. Via who? Prabhupada. Prabhupada was you know, speaking to me, speaking to us through his disciples. Krishna was speaking through Prabhupada and then through his disciples. Which is interesting because some of his disciples, the devotees that I knew, they weren't even practicing properly. Some of them. Yet they were still giving me Prabhupada's instructions. Interesting, you know, sometimes when they're really blues, they keep preaching. Well, this is no sense. They keep preaching. You know, I know one of my friends, he met his now wife, and he was always, and she said to him, well, why don't you go back to the devotees? Because all you talk about is Hare Krishna. Why don't you keep, you know, why don't you stop? And then, you know, I found the devotees to be scary. You know, one of the things I used to see was the tilak. You know, I don't think anything of it now, but I used to see the tilak on their throat. Because they were out in the book distribution, so they washed their face tilak off. But I used to see the tilak. And I used to think, that's weird. What's that? And then I thought, one day I'm going to be putting that stuff on. If you hang around with these guys, they can become like them. And I thought, wow, that's weird. What is that? So there's always weird stuff with the Hare Krishnas. And you know, one of the weirdest things is you have to do what you're told. That's why Rupa Goswami says, you better be prepared to accept things that you don't want. Right? This is right in the beginning of the 64 items. You had better be prepared to give up things that you want to keep. Right? And you better be prepared to accept things you don't want. This is the process of bhakti. Is an advice, and Krishna will test you. Krishna will test you. You will be tested. In the association of the devotees, Krishna will test your sincerity. And how does he do that? The devotees will start to tell you to do things. The guru, the spiritual master, will tell you to do things. And have a guess what? We're warned. You will be asked to do things that you don't want. Now, this was the qualification of the Prachetas. The qualification of the Pratekas was that they worked together cooperatively. It's a simple thing. It's a very, very simple thing. But it is also one of the hardest to do. To work together. Right? And to work together in an authority structure where someone is the boss. Someone's in charge. Right? And you may not like that person. You may have good reason for not liking that person. Right? But you still have to do what they tell you to do. And Prabhupada says you have to have a leader of an organization. Otherwise, what have you got? This one's opinion, that one's opinion, somebody else's opinion. We'll just go and do what we like. Right? Not unusual. It's not unusual for everybody to have an opinion. Right? Every one of us will have an opinion. But someone will have an opinion, and that someone we should follow their instructions. Otherwise, what have we got? What have we got if everybody just follows their own opinion? What do we call that?
Chaos.
Chaos. Yes, chaos. It's called anarchy. Anarchy. And if you don't like the boss, then deal with it. You know, get rid of him. Get another one. But at least in our system, in the system of the parampara, there is ultimately one leader. Huh? Who's that?
Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna is ultimately the top. And the representative of Srila Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya, he's also the leader, the boss of ISKCON anyway. Right? And so here's the final word. Of course, we know why Srila Prabhupada has that position, because he's Krishna's representative. And sometimes even the devotees will challenge Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Many examples of the devotees being told to do things by Prabhupada and not doing them. Right? And then usually what ensued? What happened? Disaster. When Tamakrishna Maharaj and the devotees, who was it? They decided that fighting for the Mumbai property for Jumbu was too much. And they surrendered to Mr. N, or Mrs. N, I think it by that stage. Right? Because Prabhupada was furious. So, you know, it is not unusual to be challenged by the orders of our superiors. And it'll be a test of faith. It'll be a huge test of faith for those devotees. But for which that cooperative mood, that cooperative spirit, that was the success of the Pratekas. That was their success, that they worked together cooperatively to finally achieve spiritual perfection when they got the darshan of the Lord. Whereas we have numerous, there are very few examples in the Bhagavatam or in our history of the Vaishnavas where rebellion or ignoring the order of the leader or ignoring the order of the guru effectively, right, means a spiritual success. There's one example that I can think of. There's an example of a devotee who ignored the order of his guru and became spiritually advanced or perfect. Who's that?
Bali Maharaj.
But that's because his guru was nonsense. He wasn't acting as a guru. Right? He wasn't actually acting as a guru. And Bali Maharaj understood that. It was by his nature. He couldn't follow an instruction that was contrary to his natural, heartfelt sentiment of devotion to Lord Vishnu. Even though he was born in a family of demons, still he was actually devoted. Right? And so when the opportunity came to render service, he couldn't not do it. It was just part of his very nature. And as a consequence of that, because of his so-called guru was instructing him not to serve, not to perform bhakti, and that was his natural inclination, he couldn't obey, he couldn't follow the order of his guru. But generally speaking, if somebody, that's an exception that proves the rule, because in any case, he was following the principles of bhakti. Right? So, the general, and we see this with Prajaitis, that cooperation, following the order of Krishna, following the order of the devotee, in this case, Girisha, Mahadeva, the topmost devotee, by following his instructions, working together to fulfill the order of Lord Shiva, the Prajaitis were blessed. They got the darshan of Lord Vishnu, and they had their material aspirations or material desires fulfilled, and they eventually went back home, back to Godhead, back to Vaikuntha, because of following the order, by following the order, working together cooperatively. Now, if we don't follow the order, there's a bit of a mood of rebellion today because, there's a lot of frustration around. We've all been locked down, right? And we can't do what we want to do. I want to do what I want to do. And I'm going to do it. Right? Well, life of the devotee sometimes is accepting things that you don't want to accept. And not being able to do things that you want to do. It's just, life is like that, I suppose. It's not that much different than any other time. And so, what happens if, say for example, we don't work under that system? We decide, I've had enough. Who did this? And there are devotees openly on the internet, where everybody's kind of congregated at the moment and broadcasting their opinion. And I'm not going to do what I'm told. Let's get rid of the GPC, is what they're saying. Let's get rid of the GPC. In other words, let's get rid of the authority structure of this one. We don't need that anymore. What are these old fake papers now anyway? Right? We want to go out and preach. We got to preach. Not realizing that preaching is multifaceted. And there are depths to our preaching. And sometimes, in various circumstances, and certainly in this circumstance that we're in now, it is the opinion of the senior Vaishnavas and the governing body commission, who our founder Acharya put in charge of this organization, that we should just sit for a little while. Just sit. We're still chanting Hare Krishna. We'll still go back home, back to Godhead. And even just by chanting, we'll liberate everybody. We're not making a big show of chanting Hare Krishna, but we're still chanting Hare Krishna. And why is that? Well, because it's too risky at this point. Even a little bit of risk. Plus we've got, our relationships with people, our neighbours, with the local government, with the state government, with the federal government. We're working. We're not just the Hare Krishnas. And, be damned everybody else. we don't live in isolation. And so the senior members have decided we're going to sit tight for a little while. But there are those who are, damn that. Who do these people think they are stopping us from preaching? Well, the demons. You know, the old invaders are demons. We've known that for a long time. At least I knew that until I became an old lady. Now the table's turned. But it is very interesting. And to be honest, I've been in this situation more than once before, where I thought, and you know, with all reasoning, all good reasoning, and all intellectual effort, and analysing what the arguments, I decided that I was right, and that I knew better than the senior devotees. Right? This is not a new realisation that people have just come up with. This is something that many of us have arrived at over the years, that we know better than anybody else. But what I've discovered is, better that you don't criticise their decision making. Better that you work cooperatively with the senior devotees. Because all that you will bring upon yourself is calamity if you go against the orders of the senior Vaishnavas. This is my question. Tell you by experience. Do not criticize. Well, Krishna tells us, Lord Chaitanya tells us, Prabhupada tells us, it's, you know, almost every second page of every book, Srila Prabhupada says, you should work with the devotees cooperatively. Don't criticize them. Don't go against them. Right? It's just not healthy. Even if you disagree, right? It's okay, that's fine. But if you disagree, bring up that disagreement in the appropriate way, in the appropriate form, and settle it in a way that's civil and is cooperative and doesn't disturb, because cooperation is the oil which makes the machinery of ISKCON run smoothly. Without it, life is painful. Well, because there's disagreement, there's dispute amongst the devotees, and that tears at the fabric of Krishna consciousness, because as a Manchin Bhakta, the qualities or the characteristics of a Manchin Bhakta are that they work together despite differences, because every one of us is going to have a different opinion. Right? And this is actually a real test of spiritual advancement, not that, oh, I'm going to go out and preach despite what all you guys say. Huh? Which then tears at the fabric of cooperation and tears at the social cohesiveness of ISKCON. And of course, you know, I guess it doesn't matter what age you are, but often it's, you know, often that tension will manifest as the young guys against the old guys. Right? It manifests in all sorts of ways. Well, it doesn't have to, but that's a common tension. It's called the generation gap. We used to be called the generation gap when I was a teenager. My dad would tell me to do things and I said, well, you know, he's the old geezer. Well, you know the old funny, don't you? Wasn't until I turned 40 I discovered actually my father was a pretty smart guy. Took me a long time to work it out. As well as I know, my father was my hero. But then suddenly when I turned about 13 or 14, certainly by the time I got to 15, I knew much more than my father. How that happened. And he, certainly my father had his faults. Like, I can't say that he didn't. But, you know, look what Krishna's God, Krishna sees the good, he doesn't see the faults. Later on, I learned how to see all of the good qualities of my father that previously I felt were eclipsed by his bad qualities. But the better quality is to see the good, not to see the fault. And especially when it comes to when we're dealing with our superiors. Right? And following instructions, following advice, following the guidelines. Somebody has to be in charge. Prabhupada wanted it to be the GBC. He wanted the local community to be managed by a temple president. And that the devotees work cooperatively. You know, this is why we should keep that system. Because it means we've got a leader, we've got a head. You know, if the leader's no good, then we work through the system to change it. But we don't smash it all apart to change it. We still keep the cohesiveness of leadership, of organisation, of structure. And like I was saying before, management, people often say, oh, management, you know, it's but it's necessary. It's part of spiritual life. Prabhupada took it very seriously, so we shouldn't disagree or dispute or diminish the importance of those who take on those roles and have to make decisions for us. And then, so when we put up the flag and everybody salutes, should be like that. Especially if we have, seniors who have been devotees for many, many years, who have many, many years of experience, and who have deliberated and considered and make decisions on our behalf, and who have a history of consistent leadership and management and decision making within ISKCON, have kept the society together, despite its obvious that there's going to be areas of strength and areas of weakness. But we look at the good. That's what we do as a Machin Bhakta, as a representative of Lord Vishnu, representative of Srila Prabhupada. This is how we have to work together. Otherwise, what happens is we start to dismantle ISKCON. This is what happens. And that's not a reason. Krishna doesn't like that, actually. Why not? That's why, the Prachadas are a very good example. We're discussing this topic now because that was their good quality. They worked together, which is what we have to do, especially in difficult times. We have to work together. Otherwise, if we don't, rebel, right? Who are we rebelling against? The devotees, right? Now that's not smart. Just like it wasn't smart for me to rebel against my dad, although I thought it was the smartest. I looked at it and I was probably not. So, we can learn a lot from the Prachetas. And we can learn from them in more than one, so many ways, actually. So, we're just beginning here. The activities of the Prachetas. Looks like it's a pretty long chapter. So we will find it. Ooh, look at that. 807. Seven pages of the activities of the Prachetas. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
Shukracharya has been called spiritual master of demons, but we have never seen his giving any spiritual knowledge because the duty of spiritual master is to give absolute truth knowledge.
Well, Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita, they don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. It's the nature of the asuras.
Yeah, so in a good sense he's been called Shri Acharya. Also,
well, I think, isn't it because he was an expert at performing different rituals, different yagyas, as a result of, and so what Bali Maharaj's relationship with Shukracharya teaches us is that by following, and you see, and this is it's pertinent to this point also, that he followed the guidance of Shukracharya and became successful, became powerful. He followed the order of his guru, even though it was followed by the Karmakanda performance of rituals, rituals basically. He was successful. Whereas the demigods offended their guru Brihaspati, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Weren't respectful to him, they became puffed up as a result of their position, and so they offended their guru. And so this is an important point. We shouldn't offend our seniors. We shouldn't offend the spiritual master or our guru, our teacher, shall we say, right? Because Bali Maharaj stuck to the order of, and this is why it was such a contrast. He followed the order of Shukracharya and became powerful. Such that he was dominating the demigods, right? But when the opportunity to render devotional service to Lord Vishnu manifests, because he's naturally a devotee, a famous devotee, he's a Mahajana, Bali Maharaj is a Mahajana, he ignored Shukracharya, who previously had been very faithful to him, and by that fidelity became, in essence, became powerful, successful. He rejected his instruction and surrendered to Upendra, Mahamudev. Right? So when he got that opportunity to surrender directly, he did. He did. So, yes, that's my understanding of that situation. What were your question about?
Yeah, the rule was taken because whoever was
in charge to ask a question.
Because whoever was his student, all the time he was encouraging them to go and charge on demigods. Every time he said, just go get the opulence, because if you will get that, we'll also enjoy it. Because one point, Shukracharya, Kupalai Shukra means the seaman who was very expert, he's charging. So he was the acharya of that one. Yeah, in that sense.
In other words, the acharya of the demons.
Yeah.
So what's the question?
The question was, why did he be called the spiritual master and he's not able to give the spiritual knowledge to his students? Instead of...
Because he's like a cooler acharya, cooler family guru. Why are they called the family guru, the spiritual master, when they just worship him for material enjoyment? It's a tradition, it's a... part of it's a remnant of Vedic culture, and so they call the person who teaches the martial arts their guru. They call that person who teaches them how to dance their guru, Guruji. It's a cultural artifact.
Yes.
Right? That's why. Not everything that comes out of Vedic culture is necessarily good. Huh? Prabhupada says, Vedic culture, the remnants of Vedic culture are like the body of a dead elephant. There are some parts that are actually useful, but not all of them necessarily, because it's dead. Huh? And the reason or the purpose has been forgotten. The real reason and purpose of that culture has been forgotten. But there's remnants left over. So this is like a remnant.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna, thanks for reading. You are saying things, for example, in cooperation with devotees.
Yeah.
Then you cannot do things which you want to do.
Yes.
And you want to, you know, give up things which you want to do and do things which you don't want to do, you're saying. So in that way, if every time the devotee is coming to do something, and then, you know, and then the senior devotees are saying, okay, don't do, then how do we, are we compromising?
No, we don't say don't do it, we'll say do it this way.
Yeah.
Not that way. Don't do it. Well, there's some things we don't do. Do it.
Yeah.
No meeting. Right? No gambling. No intoxication. No illicit sex.
Yeah.
But what do the senses want to do?
Sense gratification.
Yeah. When you see when a man sees an attractive woman, what does his senses want to do? Naturally, Krishna tells us, naturally the senses are attracted to the objects of the senses. This is just natural. But do we do it?
No.
Don't do that.
So that way, then the enthusiasm is put off because of cooperation. How do you balance your enthusiasm off? Then you think, you know, why to do anything?
Oh, I can't do what I want to do.
Why do you say, you know, just follow and then...
Why am I in charge? So I can just do what I like. Huh? Is that right? You're discouraging me. And you're a leader, you should be discouraging me, you should be encouraging me. Well, yeah, we are encouraging you. Here's what you should do. Do this.
Oh, I don't want to do it.
You're not a very good leader, you're discouraging me. What kind of name was that? Yeah, sure. Go and play on the freeway. Right? The children want to play in the cupboard under the sink. You know what's in the cupboard under the sink?
Chemicals.
All the poisons. Yeah, sure, go and play in the cupboard under the sink. Do we do that? No. So, very often, you know, we want to just, as children, we just want to play wherever we like. And usually, we want to do the things that we're told not to do. Have you noticed that? The parents say, don't play out of there. Oh, I want to play out of there. As soon as you talk about it, do something, you want to do it. So this is kind of a natural propensity of those who lack maturity. When they're asked to not do something, then what do? They want to do it. Criticize leaders. What's wrong with you guys? Don't you understand what the Yuga Dharma is? Huh? Why are you stopping us from fulfilling the order of Lord Chaitanya? Huh? Who do you think you are? What kind of a leader are you anyway? You don't know nothing. You don't know anything. But often in that situation, there's a different perspective, there's a different angle that they're not seeing. There's another one or two or even half a dozen or possibly a dozen implications that need to be considered when we're performing our devotional service. When this temple was opened, all of these windows here, if you go outside, you see the windows, right? All of those windows were open. So that at 4:30 in the morning, what happened? The conch gets blown really loudly. And then the Mongol Aarti is full ball. So what happened? The divine thought we are purifying the whole neighborhood. Chief Jago, Kora Chandra Boy, wake up sleeping souls, wake up sleeping souls. How long will you sleep in the vat of the witch called Maya? So the devotees were convinced they were doing the right thing, and they were doing the right thing. Except when the neighbours eventually, with the council, got together and shut the whole thing down. Huh? My first service, one of the first services that I did, was to bring up all of these windows. Why? Because we couldn't have long lighting. The council shut us down, and they even had a caravan in the backyard, and it was measuring all the noise coming out of the temple. And because we were making so much noise at 4:30, even though we all know that everybody should be up at 4:30 going long lighting. Right? All the residents of Peck Street. Least. But what happened? They fought back. And they shut the temple down. So when we first came to Melbourne, we were having a variety. One person was clapping. And everybody was just So, he said, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you trying to increase it? But the neighbors soon put that idea to rest until we soundproofed the whole temple. And even now, every now and again, the neighbors hear the conch, and they ring up the council, and then the council says to us, can you keep the noise of the conch down? Because they don't actually, if you go outside, it's pretty hard to hear the conch. But they know that the conch is mine at that time. And so they say, oh, we can hear the conch. They can't hear the conch. But they know that it's mine at that time, so they say, we heard the conch. No? So we have to adjust sometimes to local sentiment and laws, and we've got to work with. We also have to work cooperatively with the rest of society. We're not just that, we've already done an antisocial Hare Krishna, we're right and all of you guys are wrong. We've already done that a few times before. And we discovered that actually it doesn't work, even though we're right. We're right. The local council and the local government, they say, no, you're not, you're wrong. And we have to go, oh, okay, sorry. And of course, then, when we do that, then people might, they say, oh, finally they came to their senses. And now they're behaving like civilized human beings. And they're working cooperatively with the rest of us. Ted Bailey says that often to me and Bhakti. You've changed. The Hare Krishnas have grown up. They work cooperatively with the rest of us. And because of that cooperation, then you see what happened. They gave us that money to help build the kitchen. So, there's subtle elements of working with people, of working within society to influence and to basically get people on your side. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And so, working with people, working cooperatively. Oh, we're making too much noise in the morning? Oh, okay, we'll make things quieter. Now, for some, that's a weakness.
You gave in to the commies.
But for others, I realised, well, that was a smart move. Instead of fighting with people, you're now respected because you let them sleep in the morning. In those days, you know, if you slept in, then you'd be in trouble. One time, Thoma slept in, and you know, occasionally the lady would go into a bit of a funk, and they stay in the sleeping bag for 24 hours. Another thing, you know, on one particular occasion, one devotee, whose name starts with a K, slept in a bit too long. So the devotees grabbed him in his sleeping bag and they dragged him out into the bath, into the toilets, and in the shower, and they threw him in the shower with the sleeping bag and they turned the shower on. Right. Right. We don't generally do that kind of thing these days. If somebody sleeps in, drag him out, throw him in the shower. So, you know, it's a question of maturity. Very often. We're not so extreme as we used to be. That may be a sign of weakness. But it's a sign of longevity. You'll last a lot longer. Anything else? We'll have a show. Gopra Sina Bhagavatam Kinda Jarova Kinda Gaurava Kinda.